Welcome to Test All Things. Test All Things is an outreach of Tower to Truth Ministries, and I'm your host, Fran Sankey. You can find us on the web at towertotruth.net. Test All Things is a Bible discernment evangelistic program. It's dedicated to creating an awareness of and biblical answers to false religious teachings opposing Christianity today. Today I have a special guest in the studio with me. His name is Herb Links. And Herb is a Jew who believes that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's here today to share his testimony with us and to help us to learn more about Jewish evangelism and how Jews in general view Jesus Christ and the New Testament. Herb was born to Jewish parents in Vienna, Austria, and in 1939, his family came to the United States during the Holocaust. He is an ordained Presbyterian minister, having served as a pastor in St. Louis, Missouri for 7 years, and the pastor of a Messianic Jewish congregation in Philadelphia for 27 years. Welcome to the show, Herb.
Thank you very much, and shalom.
Shalom to you also. Herb, what makes a person Jewish? Is it their bloodline or their religion?
Well, what makes a person Jewish is that you're born Jewish. Religion is another matter. However, what makes you Jewish is if your parents are Jewish, which mine were. But also, there's a controversy that is still in effect among the rabbis. The rabbis believe that if one of your parents is not Jewish, namely your mother, you are not Jewish, even though your father, according to the Bible, is the one who makes you Jewish. However, it very simply put, your parents, it's a blood transmission that makes one Jewish, not okay. Their religion.
Okay, great. Now, I know you're friends with people from Jews for Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
Isn't the phrase Jews for Jesus an oxymoron? It's kind of like saying Christians for Allah.
It may seem to be an oxymoron, but being a believer in the Messiah is a very Jewish thing. The Messiah is Jewish. The scriptures speak of a coming Messiah. We have all of the Messianic passages in the Old Testament that speak about this one who would come as a Jew, born in the city of Bethlehem, to Jewish parents. And as a matter of fact, there are many Jews who believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, we do not make the majority of Jews, and I don't believe that any of us will ever be a B'nai B'rith Man of the Year candidate, but this is basically what we're doing.
Tell me a little bit about your background, how you grew up. How important was religion to your family in your household?
Okay. Well, when my parents were in Austria, they were nominally Jewish. They were not religiously Jewish. When we came to the United States, we became very assimilated. Years later, my parents explained to me that their fear of what they went through, the Holocaust, kept them from being openly within the community as Jewish. So, in effect, I had no Jewish education or background. I was very assimilated. Then it wasn't until I became a Christian, after I accepted Jesus as the Messiah, that suddenly my Jewishness emerged as something very important. And it was from that point in my life, from the age of 13, when I accepted the Lord, that I began this quest of finding my identity as a Jew. So today, at the age of 72, I feel very comfortable culturally and religiously being Jewish.
Do you mind me asking you, Herb, why did you come to the United States anyway? Why did your family come here?
We came because of the outbreak of the Shoah, which is the Hebrew word for the Holocaust. And it was my mother who persistently went to the embassy to try to get visas. And the most amazing thing is that when we boarded the train in Vienna to go to Genoa, Italy, to sail to the United States, we were the last train to go over the Austrian border, and then it was shut down. And so What was exactly what you were asking me? I'm trying to remember.
Why you came to the United States?
We came because of the Holocaust, and we were the only survivors of our family, so we thought. But I discovered a cousin living in Israel about 20 years ago. But it was because of what was happening in Europe, and we were fortunate to survive.
Amen. If you just joined us, I am speaking with Herb Links. He is a Jew who believes that Jesus is the Messiah. If you want to maybe contact Herb, would you have a way for them to contact you, either by email, I have that here, or phone? I don't know which one you want to give.
Well, my email address is hlinks2045@aol.com. And I will give you my cell number. It's 610-299-6560. And you can feel free to contact me for any reason.
Okay. Herb, how did you personally view God before your conversion?
I had a very, very nebulous concept of God. I had no connection with my Jewishness to see he is the God of the Bible, the living God, a personal God. I simply knew that there must be a God, and many times in distress I prayed to God. But I had no personal understanding until I began to reading the Bible, and then I got a beautiful picture of who this God was, the God of Israel, becoming my God.
So what happened in your life that led you to read the Bible and to eventually receive Jesus as the Messiah?
Well, the story actually begins in 1939 when we were on the ship coming to the United States, when it was a Catholic priest who gave my mother money to buy milk. We had nothing whatsoever. There were people in our lives that came to us that I believe that the Lord sent to us, like the two women who were Southern Baptist missionaries to the Jews in St. Louis, where I grew up, who came to our home every Thursday evening to continue telling us about Jesus the Messiah. They were met with rejection, as is often the case, but they persisted in coming, and when we told them, my parents told them, I was just a boy at the time, that they were no longer welcomed, though they could not continue talking to us about the Lord, they continued talking to the Lord about us. And then it was in high school that I met a friend who was a classmate who every day brought his Bible. And I was intrigued with a person who took a Bible and put it on top of all of his other textbooks. And that led to a friendship, conversations, and over a period of about 2 years, I began to understand the gospel, which is good news. And other people have had a part in our coming to Christ, and eventually both my parents did accept Christ. I'm an only son, so it was our entire family that eventually came to know Jesus as the Messiah. But there have been, as it is often the case, there are many people involved when a person comes to Christ. Some people have prayed, some people have shared their faith and their love, but eventually, as the Bible says, God gives the increase.
How old were you when you finally got saved?
I was 13 years old.
13, okay. How did this change your life?
Oh, it resurrected me. I could not believe that it was true. And at that point in my life, I felt a call of God to go everywhere and tell everybody I could, because I believe that Jesus Christ is the answer to the whole world dilemma. Now, 60 years later, I still believe it, and I believe everybody can be saved, but it's going to take a little longer than I had originally thought.
Okay, you're 13 years old. You go home and say, Mom, Dad, Jesus is the Messiah. What was the reaction?
My parents didn't react violently to hearing of my faith. Since they were not practicing Jews, and most Jewish people are not believers in the Messiah, they weren't apathetic. They accepted it and didn't create a lot of problems for me. So I didn't have a problem when I told my parents.
This is not the reaction from many Jews, though, who convert to Christianity. They receive very harsh treatment, don't they?
Well, it varies. But regardless of the degree of severity wherewith a person is met, there is still the underlying feeling that you have left us and joined them, as though all Gentiles, non-Jews, are Christians. So for us, it's an act of betrayal, and it's met in different ways. Among the Orthodox, there is a funeral. There is a cutting off as part of the family. For others, it's still a mystery. How could you, a Jew, convert? And that's the key word. Convert means to change in the Jewish mind from being a Jew to a Christian. But we are still Jewish, and regardless of how we're met, we still have the truth from God's word that Jesus is the Messiah and the Savior of the world.
I may ask you just one more question before this show is out. Do Jewish people still take their religion seriously? Is God very important to most Jews today?
Most Jewish people are not very religious. Perhaps 90% are culturally Jewish, but they're not followers of Judaism. Their concept of the Bible, God, and the afterlife are very, very nebulous. We are called in Hebrew Am HaSefer, which means people of the book, but we do not know the book. And we are lost.
Would you say that's true for every sect of Judaism, whether it be Reform or Conservative or Orthodox, or pretty much just a nebulous view of the Scripture that surrounds all those?
Well, the minority of Jews who would be considered Orthodox have a high regard of God. They have a high regard of the Scriptures, of what we call the Tanakh, or the Old Testament. For the most part, we do not have much understanding of the Bible.
If you just join me, I am speaking with Herb Links. If you want to contact Herb, his email address is hlinks2045@aol.com. That's hlinks2045@aol.com, or by phone at 610-299-6560. Why don't Jews believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Does it come from an in-depth study of the Hebrew Scriptures?
The reason we do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah is that we've never heard that message before. All we have been taught is we are Jews, they are Christians, and we're preconditioned because of being Jewish, that one does not convert. That convert means to change one's religion from Jewish to Gentile. The biggest reason is that we do not know the Scriptures. We do not know that a Messiah has been prophesied for us. We do not know the Bible. We have never been educated. We have a very strong cultural identity, but we have a very limited knowledge of the Scriptures. And also, it's a preservation of our people that to consider becoming Christians, or that believe that Jesus is the Messiah, would mean to change, not to change our faith, but to change who we are as Jews.
Do you think there's any animosity towards Christians or Jesus, that Christianity is blamed for the Holocaust and things of that nature?
Very definitely. We associate persecutions through the Middle Ages, the Crusades, the Holocaust as perpetrated by Christians.
And so that's a good reason why Jews won't believe in Jesus just because it's so ingrained in them.
We do not. We only know it as Christianity. We do not know the person of Christ and who he really was. And this is not what Christians do or believe.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. So, personally, when you came to Christ, what scriptures personally affected you in finally understanding the real identity of Jesus Christ? Do you have any that stick out in your mind?
Yes. As I began reading the Gospels, the first four books of the Bible, I was overwhelmed at who this person was. After many questions, many discussions with my friend Larry Potter in high school, who also became a minister of the Gospel, he's now in heaven. He showed me scriptures in the Bible, namely Isaiah chapter 53. But he didn't tell me it was Isaiah chapter 53. He read it to me. And then he asked me a question. Who do you think this is speaking about? And I said, I think it's so obvious. It's about Jesus Christ. And you're reading from the New Testament. And then he turned the Bible over and showed me. But the one verse that he brought to my two verses. One was in the prophet Jeremiah, where it says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart," says the Lord. And then when I said, "What does a person have to do to get what you've got?" Because I sense something different about him. He took me to the last book in the Bible, chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, verse 20, where Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and will open the door, I will come in and have fellowship with him and he with me." And that was the verse that I used and prayed to ask Christ to come into my heart.
Amen. That's great. Now, Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, Daniel 9, these are so clear to Christians when they read them. They just scream Jesus. How do rabbis get around these scriptures?
Well, namely, if we're going to take one of those two passages, it would be Isaiah 53. And until the Middle Ages, Isaiah 53 was always interpreted by Orthodox rabbis as prophesying the coming of the Messiah. But in the Middle Ages, there was a famous rabbi who stood up against the persecution and said, "Since Christians interpret Isaiah 53 regarding Jesus Christ, we now believe that we are the suffering servants of God, and it's the nation of Israel." That was a historical turning point when Jews rejected Isaiah 53 and interpreted, and until this day, most rabbis, if you have the opportunity to go that far in a discussion, will tell you that it speaks of the nation of Israel. But if one truly reads this passage with an open heart and an open mind and a seeking after God, it will be very clear there could only be one interpretation, and that is a person, not the nation of Israel. And that person is the Messiah, who was to come and to suffer for our sins and rise from the dead.
So they changed this not based on study, but based on an emotional response to Christianity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. Okay. If you just join me, I'm speaking with Herb Links. Herb is a Jew who believes Jesus is the Messiah. You can contact Herb at hlinks2045@aol.com or his cell phone, which is 610-299-6560. That's 610-299-6560. Herb, how do Jews view the afterlife? Is Judaism focused on going out there and saving one soul like Christian evangelists do?
That's a very good question. Our concept as Jews of an afterlife is nebulous. Though the scripture speaks a great deal, such as the prophet Daniel says that we will rise, some to the resurrection to life and others to the resurrection of being damned. But for the most part, the memory of our loved ones lives with us, and they are gone. And we do not have any personal understanding, because we do not know the scriptures where David says, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." There is your your picture of eternal life. But for the most part, we not only do not have an understanding, nebulous understanding of afterlife, we don't believe it.
Hmm. Witnessing to Jews, how do we start? Is there anything we should do, anything we should avoid, any tips you can give us?
Well, I would say, first of all, be yourself. Don't try to be someone else. Don't think you're a famous evangelist and that that's what you need to be. I would say some of the following things to do. Simply make friends with your Jewish friends. Be totally upfront with them. Declare yourself that you are a believer, that Jesus is the Messiah. You could ask questions. A good question to ask a Jewish person is, what do you think God wants from you? What do you think God wants you to believe? You can always give your testimony. Another thing that is important is use the scriptures. It is the power of God. He said, my words shall not return unto me void. The Bible, as Charles Spurgeon once said, is like a caged lion. All you do is open the gate. The lion will leap forth. You don't have to defend the lion. The lion can take care of itself. And is simply sharing the scriptures. God said he will bless his word, not yours, but his word. And I would say, continue to pray. These two women who came to our home experienced what they considered failure, but they planted seeds in our life, and they continue to pray for us. And I believe that someday when we meet Margaret Laswell and Margaret Elwell, the two women who came, we'll learn of how much they prayed for us.
Are Jewish people still waiting for a personal Messiah deliverer, or have they maybe spiritualized these passages and reinterpreted them to mean something else?
We have no concept of a Messiah. There's only a few of the religious Jews really believe in the coming of Messiah. To us, if anything, it's an era, a messianic era that's going to come, or could come, or might come. But we don't understand a concept of a personal Messiah.
Someone might say, Herb, I can't witness to a Jew. I'm a new Christian. I don't really know the scriptures that well, so I'm not equipped to do that. What would you say?
Well, the Bible tells us that we are to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. Your testimony to Jews of what God has actually done in your life, how he has answered your prayers, how God is very real, is a very powerful witness. And if you have come to know Christ, being a witness for Christ, is giving your testimony, is very important.
Absolutely, I think so. How about, what are you doing personally to help spread the gospel to Jewish people?
Okay. Well, first of all, everywhere I go, I testify for Christ. Whenever I meet people, they ask me if they know I'm a minister, they ask me where my congregation is. I tell them always, my congregation is the world. And right now I have a congregation of one. Guess who that is? And everywhere I go, whoever it is, whether it's the plumber who came to our house yesterday, I tell them in the best way I know how about Christ.
So you just go out there and you share the gospel, whether they're Jewish or Gentile or whatever, you just share Jesus Christ with whoever God puts in your path.
Jesus Christ died for all, Jew and Gentile. But of course, in my heart, I have a special burden for my people, and I try whatever way is possible, to share the Lord with them.
Okay, if you want to contact Herb, his email address is hlinks, 2045@AOL.com, or his phone is 610-299-6560. If you're interested in a CD copy of both parts of this interview with Herb Links, my email is help@towertotruth.net, or you can call me at 610-513-5525. For more info on cults, my website again is towertotruth.net. And don't miss next week for another hot apologetic issue facing Christianity today. And remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things.